This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Hey, have you seen this place this morning? Out in the hallway, out in the lobby? Big thanks to Jacob and the whole volunteer staff with the youth and setting up for VBS this week. It's going to be a blast. Like, part of me wants to be a kid again just because this looks like so much fun. So make waves. It's VBS. If you're not already volunteering or a part of this, please be praying for the children of the church and the children of your community. Not just here, but all the kids going to all the VBS programs at churches around the area. Lives will change. Pray. Be a part of it. I encourage you. Hey, this is the last Sunday in July. And if you know, we've been doing one service for the month of July. Next week is August. Can you believe it's here already? We're going back to two services. That's 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Normal two-service program back in August. Patrick will be back with us. And I have another challenge for you. So on top of a jump rope challenge, I have this challenge. So on your way out the door, when you exit this building, you'll see the black tablecloth round cover table, and you'll see these little cards on them. And these cards are just a simple piece of information about Bridges on the front, and on the back it shows the 9 and 11 a.m. service. These are super easy to fit in your pocket and just give to people you meet. So we're going back to two services, but here's the deal, church. I'm going to see this many people here next week in both services. And it's going to take you being the hands and feet of Christ, reaching out to other people and inviting them to come and see what God is doing here in Winston-Salem. Bring somebody. Invite somebody. These cards are right there on the table for you to grab on your way out. If you need more, see me, but invite someone next week. Hey, I have the extreme honor and pleasure this morning of introducing our guest speaker. He has served in the pastoral ministry for 20 years. He's been public speaking and speaking in churches and conferences around the world, like literally in the United States, United Kingdom, Africa, Caribbean, the Bahamas. He's been everywhere sharing what God is doing and preaching the word. He currently serves as vice president of the Great Commission Ministries, which is a ministry that outreaches and serves and meets the needs of the poor and disenfranchised right here in our hometown. He also serves as the senior chaplain of the Forsyth Jail and Prison Ministries that serves the Forsyth County Jail and the Forsyth Correctional Center. Please welcome with me Dejado Hanchel.
Good morning, Bridges Church. Certainly grateful to be here on this morning to share God's word and to share in worship and fellowship. I've already been blessed so much by the worship and the atmosphere and being in the number with God's people. My family, some of whom I'm just getting to meet for the first time, but we are all family in Christ, and I'm grateful to be here. I certainly want to thank God for my friend and brother Patrick in his absence. He and I have been a part of a prayer group for the past several years, and he has certainly deposited into my life in many ways, and I'm grateful for him and for affording this opportunity for me to be here on this morning. All right, let's jump right into the word today. We're in Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Philippians chapter number 4 is where we will take our sermonic thought. And I want to read verses 4 through 9 from the English Standard Version. So grateful to see Stacy here as well. Blessings on you. Thank you. Thank you for leaving Patrick and hanging out with me today. I'm going to rub his face in that when I see him next, obviously. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9 reads like this from the English Standard Version. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I will say, rejoice. "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. My brothers and sisters, for the next few moments as the spiritual guide, I'd like to put a tag on this text and speak from the subject, the antidote for anxiety. The antidote for anxiety. In 1943, famed psychologist Abraham Maslow introduced a theory of human motivation based upon a hierarchy of human needs. This has later become known as Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Dr. Maslow suggested that there are five basic categories of human need, and he listed them in ascending order from the bottom to the top. These five categories of human needs are, first of all, physiological needs. These needs of food, water, and rest. And then he talks about safety needs, needs to feel safe and secure. Then Maslow proffers that each of us as human beings have love and belonging needs, that we have a need, an innate need to be in intimate relationship and friendships. And then he says that we have esteem needs, needs for our own self-esteem and our self-confidence. And finally, the highest order of need, according to Dr. Maslow, is the need for self-actualization. That's the need to achieve our potential and to experience success. Now, with all due respect to Dr. Maslow and any other psychologists who are in the room, I believe that there is at least one more area of human needs. We can remix this and call it Hanschel's hierarchy of needs. The sixth need area, I think, is that all of us as human beings, one of our major needs is the need to know. As human beings, we seemingly have this innate and insatiable desire to know the nitty-gritty details of everything about our lives. We need to know what has happened, what's happening, and certainly what's about to happen in our lives. The problem is that it is humanly impossible for us to know everything. And the gap between what we know and what we think we ought to know is something called uncertainty. And it is in that gap, it is in uncertainty where our anxiety thrives. It's when we don't know how it's going to turn out. We don't know where our support is going to come from. We don't know what's going to happen next. It is our need to know. And if we're not careful, Bridges Church and family, those watching us online, that if we're not careful, our gnawing need to know can eventually lead to sin. In fact, that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. If you remember the story, the serpent came to tempt Eve to eat of a certain tree. And notice, it was not, the temptation was not to eat of the tree of life, but that the temptation was to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The temptation was, you're going to know what God knows. You're going to be able to see. You're going to have all the answers to the test. And that's seemingly what all of us desire, that we want to know what's going to happen. And can I tell you that Satan, our enemy, has been playing on our need to know since the beginning of time. But if I may pause parenthetically to throw this in here, may I submit to you that sometimes it doesn't only seem like Satan is the only one playing on our need to know. I don't know about you in your life, but sometimes it seems like God does the same thing. It seems like God wants to give me as little information as possible, and then wants to see if I can trust him and still follow him, even if I don't know what's going to happen next. Has God ever done that to anybody in here? It seems like he says something like this in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you."
plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. And we celebrate the fact that God has a plan, but here's the problem. God never shares the plan with us. And if he does share some component of the plan, he certainly doesn't give us the details. We serve a God who will give us a destination with no details. He'll give us a destination with no directions. And he will tell us, trust me and follow me, and I'll tell you which way to go. Following God is a lot like, well, it's a lot like driving with my father. I'm from the Bahamas originally, and I was there a couple of weeks ago. My dad was celebrating his 70th birthday, and 1 year of being cancer-free. A year ago, he had double cancer. He had cancer in his stomach and cancer in his kidney at the same time. They performed a 9.5-hour surgery, removed the cancer from his stomach, removed the cancer from his kidney, and thankfully, 1 year later, he's alive and cancer-free. To God be the glory. Thank God. Yes. He turns graves into gardens, right? And so I celebrate the fact, so we went to celebrate his 70th birthday, and I went down, and I said, all right, he said, I need to go somewhere. Can you drive me somewhere? And I said, all right, Pop, I'll take you where you need to go. Where do you need to go? Just drive, I'll tell you. And when you're driving with my father, he will never tell you where you're going. He'll never tell you how many stops he's going to make along the way. And he's sure not going to tell you what time you're going to be back home. It's a lot like following God. And I can recall just a few weeks ago, I'm driving and I'm getting frustrated because he'll wait until I get right up to the corner, turn left here. Well, can you give me some advance notice? I mean, I'm coming across two lanes trying to get to the next left. And I found myself getting frustrated and found myself feeling anxious because I wanted to know where we were going. And while I was driving and feeling anxious, the Spirit spoke to me and said, guess what? You don't know where you're going. Hear this. But your Father knows where you're going. And I don't know who that is for today, but you may be driving on the journey of life and you're wondering where the next turn is going to take you. But I want to encourage you that even though you don't know where you're going, your Father knows where you're going, and he will get you to the place of your destination. But in the meantime, it still raises my anxiety. And so I believe that each of us need, if we're following God in any way in our life, need to have the antidote for anxiety. Well, what's an antidote? An antidote is a specific medicine taken or given to counteract a particular poison. May I submit to you, sisters and brothers, that that anxiety is poison to our souls. It chokes out the life. Anxiety has a way of stealing our joy and causing us not to even be able to appreciate the blessings that God brings into our lives. We can be blessed with something, but so anxious that we can't appreciate and enjoy the blessing that God has given us. But here in our text, the Apostle Paul shares with us four components that combine to create the antidote for our anxiety. Four things are found in this text. The first one is found in verse number 4. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. And the first thing we need to do in order to combat our anxiety, number one, we need to remember the priority of praise. Let the church say the priority of praise. Oh, y'all talking back to me. I love it. I love it. I love it. The priority of praise. Paul begins by giving us a reminder to rejoice. Why does Paul need to remind us to rejoice? He needs to remind us because so often we as human beings can get caught up in the vicissitudes of life and the life's challenges and the tests, trials, and tribulations that we face, that we can often forget to give God glory in the midst of our tests and our trials. Every now and then we need to be reminded. So Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And in case you forget, again, I will say rejoice. It is a reminder to rejoice. Every day we should list something, at least one thing that we have a reason to rejoice. A friend of mine recently called me and he asked me, he said, Tejado, how do I combat these feelings of hopelessness and loss? How do I combat these feelings of anxiety that I'm facing on a daily basis? And my response to him was to rejoice. You ought to rejoice even if you don't feel like it, even if your situation doesn't look like it, that the Bible tells us that we ought to bless the Lord at all times, and his praise should continually be in our mouths. Praise ought to be our priority. And every now and then, we ought to remind ourselves to rejoice. Amen. Can I tell you that all of us have a built-in reminder to rejoice? Our pain is the reminder to rejoice. That same father that frustrates me in the car driving, I watched him while he was battling cancer last year and while he was going through chemotherapy and while he was recovering from a 9.5-hour surgery. I watched him every day lift his hands and worship God. Although he was tired and in pain, he allowed his pain to be a reminder to praise his God. And daily, when we face our tests, trials, and tribulations, we ought to let it be reminded to say, God, I thank you. The priority of praise. But not only do we need the priority of praise to combat, combine to make the antidote for our anxiety, but secondly, we need to understand the preeminence of prayer. The preeminence of prayer. Look what Paul says in verse number 6. He says, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul says, listen, praise is important. It is a priority, but we must also understand the importance and the preeminence of prayer in our lives. For prayer is the key to budding anxiety out of our lives. The moment we begin to feel anxiety creeping into our minds and our bodies, that's when we need to pray. I don't know about you, but when I feel anxiety coming on, it starts somewhere near the pit of my stomach and tries to rise into my chest. And I've learned after meditating on this passage that the moment I start to feel that anxiety, that's the moment I need to pray. That's the moment I need to start calling on God, because prayer is the part of the antidote for anxiety. Let me tell you that there is an inverse relationship between prayer and anxiety, meaning the more we pray, the less anxious we feel. And conversely, the less we pray, the more anxious we feel. Prayer and anxiety cannot occupy the same space for a long time. And so the more anxious I start to feel, the more I need to start praying, because it is my prayer that reduces my anxiety level. He says, be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's the thing. Paul doesn't tell us that we need to pray. Paul also tells us how we need to pray. He says our prayer ought to be supplication with thanksgiving. Let's unpack that. What is supplication? Supplication is the action of asking or begging for something earnestly or humbly. In other words, supplication is not a cute, rehearsed prayer. Supplication is not, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's not supplication. Supplication is a heat-seeking missile that is sent directly toward heaven. It's the act of begging God for what you need. It's the act of saying, imploring God. It is saying, God, I need you, and I need you now. Supplication goes directly towards heaven. But Paul says that not only should we pray with supplication, but he says our supplication ought to also come part and parcel with thanksgiving. In other words, this means at the same time we send our request to heaven, we also thank God in advance for his response. The same time that we send the supplication, we add thanksgiving. And so when I'm saying, God, I need you to heal me, at the same time I'm saying, Lord, and I thank you that I'm healed. God, I need you to provide for my family. And Lord, I thank you that you've already provided. Lord, I need you to save my children. And at the same time, Lord, I thank you that my children are saved. A supplication with thanksgiving. It is giving God thanks in advance for what you expect him to do, because thanksgiving is a down payment today on what we expect God to do tomorrow. It is praising him in advance. And so if we're going to have the antidote to our anxiety, number one, we need to recognize the priority of praise. Secondly, we recognize the preeminence of prayer. And thirdly, we recognize the protection of peace. Verse number 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, when we add thanksgiving to our requests, God responds. And the primary response that God gives us is that he releases his peace. Peace is a sign that God has heard our request. Let me say it another way. Peace is heaven's down payment on our prayers. That have you ever prayed for something, and although the thing that you prayed about hasn't changed yet, but you have this sense of peace after praying about it? That's a sign that heaven has heard your request, and that is the down payment on your prayers, that God releases peace to let us know he's heard our prayers. And can I tell you that peace is not just a feeling, but peace is protection. Peace is the guardian that stands at the doors of our hearts and minds to protect us from the ongoing attacks of anxiety. The Greek word for guard in this text, it literally means to protect by military guard to prevent hostile invasion. Anxiety is a hostile invader that's trying to steal our joy and remove God's peace from our lives. But here's the key, that when we pray, God releases peace, the protection of his peace. He dispatches his peace, which surpasses our understanding, to stand guard at the doors of our hearts and minds. I've heard people often in church talk about their guardian angels, but I've never heard somebody talk about their guardian peace. That peace is a guard that stands at the door of our hearts and our minds. In other words, peace is like having a guard dog to protect you from the anxiety. I was talking to one of my cousins a few weeks ago, and she's building a brand new house, and a beautiful, fabulous house, and there in the Bahamas. And so I went there to go visit her house while she's building up, and she had a big fence around the house. And I was getting ready to come in through the fence, and all of a sudden, I saw these three big dogs, and I politely stepped out of the fence and closed it up and said, you got to do something about that if I'm going to come in there. And so she tied up the dogs, and finally I went to walk in, and I asked her, why do you have these three big dogs? And she said, well, when we started building the house, people were coming in at night and stealing the materials and the supplies that we were using to build. And she said, I found the solution. I bought these three big security dogs, and I put them on the property, and guess what? They stopped stealing. And what the Lord showed me in that is that's what God uses peace for. See, anxiety comes in at night to steal our joy and our peace, and tries to steal the hope that we have, and tries to steal our ability to function and to think properly. But peace comes in like a big old guard dog saying, whoo, 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 whoo. And whenever anxiety tries to come our way, peace stands in the middle and is a guard dog at our heart and our mind. It protects us from the ongoing attacks of anxiety. When God dispatches his peace, we're able to rest in that peace. And we can then tap in to the fourth component of the antidote for anxiety. It's found all the way in verse number 19, a very familiar passage of scripture that says, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Tells us the fourth component is the promise of provision. That we don't need to worry because God has already promised to provide for all of our needs. Part of anxiety thrives in uncertainty, as I said earlier. But we can be certain of this, that whatever we have needed, God has already provided. Great is his faithfulness. That he has given us a promise in his word that he will supply all of our needs. Now, quite often we limit this promise only to finances and money, but God doesn't promise just to provide for all of our financial needs. He promises to provide for all of our needs. Remember, Dr. Maslow already told us that there are at least 5 tiers of human needs. But guess what? God has a promise to provide for each of those areas. That whenever I have physiological needs, I have a promise in Matthew 6, 31 and 32 that Jesus said, "Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? For your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." When I have safety needs, I have a promise in Psalm 91 and 7 that says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Whenever we have love and belonging needs, we have a promise that God will provide in Psalm 27 and 10, that even when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me in. When I have esteem needs, I have a promise in Psalm 139 and 14 that tells me that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Whenever I have self-actualization needs, I have a promise in Psalm 1 and 3 that says that I shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that will bring forth fruit in my season, and whatever I do, it shall prosper because God provides for all of my needs.
Oh, I heard someone in the back there say, well, that's the 5 needs that Maslow said. You said it was 6, the need to know. Well, guess what? God provides for that need as well. Because he says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 26, that there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. God will supply. God has given us the antidote for our anxiety. The antidote is found in his word. It's the priority of praise, the preeminence of prayer, the protection of peace, and the promise of provision. And when we practice these principles, when we put them into action in our lives, God will allow and help us to defeat the enemy of anxiety. Paul continues on and tells us that we ought to change the way we think. And in verse 9, he says that what we have learned and received and heard and seen, that we ought to practice these things. And when we practice these things, he says, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, what's so powerful about that to me is in verse 7, he tells us that the peace of God will be with us. But in verse 9, he tells us that the God of peace will be with us. Which means that when we practice these principles, not only will we just get the peace of God, which is merely a peace of God, but he says, I'm going to give you all of me. The God of peace will be with you. So we don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. We don't have to be anxious because we have the antidote for our anxiety in God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. I pray especially now for these, your sons and your daughters, my brothers and my sisters. God, many of us are facing some level or some type of anxiety in our lives. We know that anxiety comes to steal our joy and our hope and our peace. But thank you that in your word you've given us the antidote. We thank you, Lord, for the priority of praise. Remind us to rejoice.
We thank you for a daily reminder to bless you at all times and allow your praise to continually be in our mouths. Then, Lord, we thank you for the preeminence of prayer, for we know that there is an inverse relationship between prayer and anxiety. The more we pray, the less anxious we feel. And then we thank you that our prayer releases your peace, the protection of peace, your peace that stands as a guard at the door of our hearts and our minds to protect us from the ongoing invasion, the hostile invasion of anxiety in our hearts and minds. And finally, Lord, we thank you for the promise of your provision that you will supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we stand on your word and we stand in hope, knowing that all things work together for the good of them that love you and are the called according to your purpose. It's in your mighty, matchless, and majestic name we pray these things today by faith. In Jesus' name, and all the people of God say, amen.